You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob, and hope you had a great Halloween.
Yeah, Jim, thanks very kindly. And I just stayed at home last evening, and so it was essentially in my condo tower, no Halloween at all. But occasionally you could hear somebody doing, fairly large-sized firecrackers, which was impressive. And I don't know where that was, but it was somewhere within hearing of where I am out in Point Grey. So, yeah.
And out here at Quayside Drive in New Westminster, the kids don't go to the high-rise tower. So instead, they put up a tent on the boardwalk along the Fraser River, and that's where the kids went to get their trick-or-treats.
Oh, what a good idea. Yeah.
Now, today we have a couple of questions from listeners. Our first one comes from Charlie. And Charlie says, "Hi, Jim and Bob. I have to say I never miss an episode with Bob. Great show." Well, that's all we had to hear, Charlie. Don't have to get to the rest of it. His question is, could it possibly be different this time? The market keeps confounding at very high valuations, and I understand the high spending of the U.S. government has something to do with advancing the economy in face of pockets of not great news. Can they just keep spending and avoid a crash, or will this eventually run out of steam? Thanks, your friend Charlie.
Charlie, that's a good observation, and yeah, the boom is now a mighty boom, and it continues. As I've noted from time to time, if there's going to be a credit disaster, often it'll be discovered in the fall, like October, but that obviously didn't happen this time. So what we have is a highly elevated financial markets. That's both stocks and bonds, and that is vulnerable just on its own excess. So when it breaks, it can do a lot of damage, but we're just kind of waiting to watch for the cracks in the markets, and maybe we've had here one recently. The breadth of the market has been good. The advanced decline line has gone up, but it's in overbought, and then now it seems to be rolling over. Nothing dramatic, but a sign. Now, also, there's kind of like two longer-term things out there that are important. One is that a couple of years ago, the financial markets recorded an inverted yield curve. That's the difference between long rates and short rates. And when you get inversion, and we've got the charts back to 1857 in the U.S., a recession is inevitable. And perhaps the world is now in a global recession. And occasionally we see something out of the States with a certain series plunging. So I think that the so-called booming economy may be vulnerable, and the junk bonds got way overbought, so they're vulnerable. Commodities got overbought, so they're vulnerable, and the stock market got way overbought, so it's vulnerable. But you know, it reminded me the other day of years ago when I was whitewater paddling. Our group used to go up the Squamish River, which is north of Vancouver. And on the way there, the upper headwaters there, we went on a sort of almost two-lane dirt gravel road, barely improved. And there was a logging outfit up there big time. And they had built a haul road these big trucks. Now, maybe a logging rig could weigh up maybe 90,000 pounds, you know. And they built this gravel road smooth so that the maintenance, it wasn't adverse to trucking. And so Anyways, the two-lane dirt road went across this beautifully packed-out wide haul road where the logging trucks would come thundering along, and the big sign, which was a stop sign on the two-lane road, wasn't a standard octagonal highways department stop sign. They had a special sign painted, and of course it had stop on it, and then written in, it had this extra note that our rigs take 2.5 seconds to get through this intersection, whether you were in it or not, which was quite quite distinctive, and has stayed in my mind since. And this is where we are now. When this breaks, it is going to be a severe hit, and it's built in. And we're just not quite certain as to when it gets hit. There's a couple of little hits lately. And as I said, the advanced decline line seems to be rolling over. Now, so one big sign, as I said, is that the yield curve inverted. A recession is inevitable. And then the other is called the a Hindenburg omen. And what that is that you get certain action 52-week trailing averages, upside stocks and downside stocks. It's a bit complicated, but it works. Now, the action has generated a confirmed Hindenburg omen. Now, we will note that the record on this signal is that not every Hindenburg was followed by a crash, but every crash has been preceded by a Hindenburg. So you've got this warning. So there is now, the action has been hot, widespread, and highly confident by amateurs, and is vulnerable. That's what we can say. And perhaps it could roll over sometime in the next couple of months. We'll see. We're watching it closely.
Now, we have several questions from David. His first question is, just wondering how you see the markets right now. The expected big correction seems to be delayed indefinitely.
I think David wrote that with a certain irony, and we just more or less covered it in a few minutes ago. My answer is already given to the question, and but I do appreciate the question.
Next question, where are we in terms of the interest rate cycle?
Yeah, this is a good one. A person who is not informed on previous bubbles may find the action in interest rates somewhat confusing out there. Now, here, and you look at previous bubbles, here is the pattern. Short rates, such as T-bills, say 3-month or 6-month T-bills, go up. Interest rates always rise with the boom. And then the Federal Reserve, which is a fake and a phony, it follows along with market forces by raising their Fed rate and to look as if they're in charge of things. And then eventually, due to market forces, interest rates, short rates, roll over and decline. Now, they've already done this. They had the high set a couple of months ago, and we are now in a decline in short rates. And then we've got a wonderful quote from one of the head guys at Harris Trust in September 2007, who says, yes, interest rates are going to go down, and we're certain that this will keep the boom going. I remember it uses the term certain, but this is absolutely wrong. Because if you look at every contraction that followed a stock bull market, an excessive bull market, and a business boom, when they roll over together, and the T-bill rate, it's again heading towards zero, which it got to, in 2008 kind of thing. And also I'll point out that it did something similar with the 1929 boom. The high for the T-bill yield was in that June, and when it rolled over in the summer, it was saying, hey guys, heads up, the boom's essentially over. And then, of course, that boom reached its best in early September and then failed. And with it, guess what? Short rates came down. So not only does the stock market, the S&P, go down as short rates go down, they also plunge together. We got a chart that is really good of the T-bill rate plotted along with the S&P. And when you get the fastest drops in the T-bill rate, you get the most severe plunges in the S&P. So now you got these pundits out there all saying that short rates down is going to be good. And history shows very strongly that this is not the case. You want to have interest rates going up because it says the boom is on. Interest rates have turned down just recently, and that's saying the boom is over.
And the last question from David, do you think interest rates are going to come down more, or will inflation concerns and debt issues prevent that?
Yeah, well, same thing. I've already explained it. But we'll add that T-bill rates come down, and long rates, such as for low-grade credits, junk bonds, they really go up because of so many junk bonds fail, and then many investment-grade bonds become junk bonds, so it's a whole disaster in the junk bond side. And the loss of liquidity can be so severe that it even brings down treasury bond prices. Now, one of the features of every bubble, and we've plotted this, is the real long interest rates. That's where you take the nominal rate of interest and adjust it for CPI inflation. And the pattern has been is they decline a little in the final year of the bubble, and then real long interest rates go up while the T-bill rate is going down. And so far, the 10-year real rate is up some 3 percentage points. And this is becoming uncomfortable. And so the typical increase on the full disaster has been 10 percentage points. Now, that really is severe as long rates real go up. Mother Nature is correcting the horrendous abuses that occur with a great financial bubble. So the interest rates are doing what they should be doing.
Your current economic thesis, Bob?
Yeah, historically, this is a great perspective. And what I've found is that I've called them tyrannical centuries, where the bureaucracy goes out of control, becomes dominant, treads on people's freedom, has too many wars, and then funds the war with inflation. And the first one was the 3rd century in Rome. Actually, it ran more for 100 years, but for writing's sake, it's convenient to call it a tyrannical century. And if you look at the wiki on write-ups on Rome centuries, you can do 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and they give a write-up. But the 3rd, they call the military excesses and the time of bad times. So the 3rd century, even by other scholars writing up in Wiki, was a bad one for Rome. It was what we had now. Too much war and too much inflation and too much government, and then it all crashed and they threw it off. So then the next brew up on this began at about 1500, when all the gold and silver bullion was coming over from the New World, and then that launched another century of inflation. And then Spain was the major country then, and virtually all of the gold and silver bullion from the New World was being landed at Seville. So the Spanish government really had a lot of money coming in, but they were ambitious, and a huge windfall like that was inadequate. So they turned to currency debasement and excessive debt and went broke many times, and then it eventually finished Spain as being a leading nation. So, and then you went into. So the reform of following that tyrannical century, early 1600s, is best followed in England's history. They dealt with it rather well and eventually put it behind them and had massive reforms away from authoritarian government. Now, our experience in the tyrannical century began in the early 1900s. You had one of the main theories was communism, and then you had the Fabian socialists in England who were, I don't think they liked the tailoring of those Russians who were promoting communism, but they then ended up with their own ideas on having to control society. So we've been suffering under that now, and what has happened is we've had another tyrannical century. Inflation is underway, and the key to this, Jim, is that the final bout of inflation, when it breaks, it ends 120 years of a tyrannical century, and this is what we're looking at now. So the inflation is important because that is the last gasp. And when this inflation breaks, and there are a couple of signposts saying that we're heading that way, then all the bubbles crash, there's no money for government, and the public then gets a chance to reform radical governments, particularly, ironically, in the Western world. So we're looking for the bad times to bring some relief from oppressive and intrusive government. So it's going to be very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this all works out.
How's the junior gold sector working out right now?
Well, as you know, Jim, we put together in December a list of about 11 junior gold stocks as being a practical and wise way of getting into the gold stock, into the gold market. And, yeah, some of them worked out well. I think the average increase has been about 20%, and one of them has been more than a double. That was the sleeper one. So, actually, it's a nice way of getting into the action. A couple of them have been stalled out turkeys, but in the main, the rise has been very nice, and when we get more into an advanced bull market for the gold stocks, these juniors can do very well. So we proposed it, a list of juniors, as a very practical way of getting exposure in the gold stocks. And people who are interested can request our list, and we'd be glad to send it out.
We'll take a look at the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline. Many countries are being squeezed by increasing interest payments and high debt redemptions.
Oh, yeah, that's from the IMF. So it's a major source. Yeah, it's classic stuff. They're being squeezed, and that's the way it works. Then the next one, there's one, that at long last, it appears that the Federal Reserve System is set to start cutting interest rates. That's from Barron's, and obviously it's indicating that, hey, rate cuts are going to be good.
From the Wall Street Journal, this year's housing turnaround ended before it started.
Isn't that a good headline? Just absolutely wonderful. Yeah, no, I thought that. I put that one out because the headline was so well crafted. Mm-hmm.
Now, isn't that a case of housing developers would love to sell product, but nobody's buying because of high mortgage rates?
I think that's what's going on there, yeah.
And I recall in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan in 1981, when interest rates, mortgages were 21%.
Yeah.
Nobody could afford the houses in this suburb. So the developer got in a bulldozer and knocked down five of the houses. But the police put a warning shot through his windshield because in house number six that he was tearing down, his wife was making dinner.
Obviously, he went berserk. That's a hell of a story.
Yeah. And then there's what I call disaster tourism. People from all over Saskatchewan had to come and see these bulldozed houses with a bulldozer with a, like I said, a bullet hole in the windshield parked in house number six.
Good grief. That's fascinating.
Yeah. Until you see it, you don't believe it.
Yeah.
Now, another headline from CNBC. Mortgage demand stalls as interest rates surge higher. I thought they were cutting them. Or are these rates, Bob?
Yeah,
set?
Well, there's where you get the difference. They can, and the Fed is only faking it when it cuts Fed funds, which is short rates, because T-bill rates are going down anyways. So it's that irony where short rates are going down and long rates are going up. Can't get around it.
Headline: Wall Street Journal. Wall Street giants to make $50 billion bet on AI and power projects. And it comes to mind the Three Mile Island nuclear plant is being revived by Microsoft to power their AI farm.
Yeah. This is just showing that game requires huge amounts of power. And I think it's terrific that they're revitalizing the Three Mile Island thing, because it was... The risk there was really well contained, and they had a little problem and vented some steam, and then the anti-nuclear crowd went wild and they shut her down and kept it shut down since. But actually, this going on of reopening a nuclear power plant is very constructive. And then now the new nuclear power plants are really quite modular, and some of them are moderate size. So it doesn't take 15 years to build a huge nuclear plant, and you can build a smaller one with less cost, less time, and etc., closer to where the power is being used. So this obviously is going to make quite a increase the demand for uranium, and this is what the market's been going on about. They figure it's going to be quite an increase in demand for mined uranium, but they seem to overlook the fact that these modular plants can use old, used uranium from the old plants. So the amount of mined uranium for the expansion in nuclear power is not going to be up to what the bulls are expecting, mainly because the new modular plants can use the old stored uranium that's at the surface. So
Wow. It'll
be interesting to see how it all works out.
From the Financial Times, investors' fear of missing out drives gold demand to record high.
Yeah, that's the one. F-O, fear of missing out.
F-O-M-O.
FOMO. FOMO. That's the fear of missing out. And that really is a sign of any speculative peak. So... That's an important headline.
J.P. Morgan says fear has receded in an $11.8 trillion loan market.
Yeah. When you get the numbers on some of these things, the aggregate, they are amazingly huge. And as Morgan writes up, fear has receded in that market. But, hey, it can come back in an instant.
Wow. $11.8 trillion in loans out there.
Yeah.
If things go sideways, a lot of defaults. I mean, already in Canada, we've seen a record number of bankruptcies declared.
Yeah.
From Yahoo, China's top solar firms post big losses as oversupply persists. So, solar, not so sunny?
Good one. I saw a picture I enjoyed with one of those storms somewhere where it was a whole solar field with these panels. Maybe the panels were 10, 12 feet long and maybe 4 feet deep, and a whole bunch of them in this field gathering electricity when the sun was shining, and a hailstorm came through with hail the size of even larger than golf balls. Well, you wouldn't believe what it did to this solar array. It absolutely trashed it. And these things, solar power... and wind power are so hopeless. They are intermittent. So because they're intermittent, you have to have a supply of reliable, always-on power. So they waste the money in building intermittent power, and as mostly you see low-density source of power, and then you have to have the backup of always reliable power, and nuclear power is very intense density of power. Hydroelectric dams are, and lately natural gas-powered electrical plants are very good, very good, no, hardly any pollution. But I always make the distinction that CO2 in the atmosphere is not a pollutant. It's a necessary gas, and at 400 parts per million is extremely low in geological history. Tens of millions of years ago, it was up to 7,000 parts per million, and it was wonderful. And we know that if it gets below 150 million parts per, that's it. Plant life starts to die on Earth, followed shortly by all kinds of animal life. So these crazies out there who think that CO2 is an evil and want to shut it down should do a little more research.
And our last headline from Bloomberg, Janet Yellen says fraud is a huge growing problem in the banking system. And we have examples here, Bob. HSBC fined $1.9 billion for its flawed anti-money laundering controls. TD, Toronto Dominion Bank, just fined $3 billion for money laundering. Other banks doing the same thing, Bob?
Well, I think their systems became so complicated that various operators within the bank were able to do bad things that top management couldn't possibly see. And again, it's another example of craziness that you can get on a great financial bubble.
And of course, in British Columbia, the NDP government had an inquiry into money laundering. And since then, nothing's been done.
Well, of course, yeah.
Of course. Oh, we looked into it. We don't know. So, you know, if you want to launder money now, just make sure it's under $10,000 and it's still not reported. So the duffel bags now have $9,999 in them instead of 25 or 30 grand. So you have to bring three duffel bags to the casino.
Yes.
Yeah. Bob, always fun chatting with you.
Yeah, Jim, we have a good time. And it's been gray outside here in Vancouver, but the markets have been fascinating.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He was speaking to us from Vancouver. If you have any questions for Bob or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.